Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
No, I'm not Paul Gagné. My name is Angela Harmon. Angela Hill Harmon, if you like me on Facebook. People wondered where that name was. I had a girlfriend that was coming looking for me. She's like, "Who's Hill?" I said, "Well, that's my maiden name." But it's Easy Like Sunday Morning is a topic that came up very easily for me. It was one of the Sundays I decided to take it easy myself. I didn't have to be a guest speaker anywhere. I wasn't on platform anywhere. And although it's kind of easy to come here, it's a little more work for me now that I've moved out of Buckhead and live a little further out. So although it's easy to be here with you, sometimes it's easy to stay in bed and sleep in, right? Easy for us is different for every one of us. But it came up two reasons. I was taking it easy. My grandchildren weren't at the house. My daughter's been kind of in and out with me, staying with me, and then you see a little one over here, so it's the little people and the middle-sized people and the big people, and it was quiet. Everybody was gone. They must have gone to the movies. And although this was a work assignment I was about to do, it was still an easy thing to do. I was headed to Manila, which I have since gone and come back, haven't been home 48 hours yet, but I was planning for that trip, and I called to make reservations. I always stay at the Marriott. I'm a Marriott girl. So I was calling the Marriott that I stay there, and they knew my voice when they picked up. And I hadn't been there a year. It's been a whole year. So I said I was coming. They were all excited. I didn't have to do another thing but give them the dates. Now, I don't know what other place I've been that I just call and everything is taken care of, literally, that easy. I'm like, ooh, that's easy like Sunday morning. And then I thought about the song by who? Lionel Richie, right? I almost played it for you today, but I wouldn't even want to cover up what we just heard, Fragile. So I'm glad I decided not to bring it. But everybody knows the Lionel Richie song, right? I get out to Manila, and I'm working. Well, even before I start working, let me tell you another easy part. I get to the airport after 17 hours of flying, you know, 5 on one flight, 12 on another, and a little break in between. And the car from the Marriott is waiting for me. And I don't always do that. Sometimes I take a taxi, I take a shuttle. You know, I try to use the company's money like my money, you know. This time I needed a car. So they came and picked me up. And little did I know that when I arrived at the hotel, because this has never happened before, quite like this before, is that the lady that I spoke to over the phone was at the door of the hotel waiting for me when I got there. So I didn't go by any executive lounge. I didn't go by the front desk. I went straight to my room. And I'm not even believing this myself. She's got everything I need to sign. She just asked for my credit card number, wrote it down, and I was in the shower in like the next 5 minutes, because that's the next thing you need after you've been on a 17-hour flight, right? A shower. So that was so easy. I'm like, this is going to be a great, easy trip. So as the work assignment went on, and I'm working every single day, I go on a trip. I decided to go on a beach trip just for the day because I'm not there very long. And I go to the hotel where I sign up for the trip, and it's called the Shangri-La. And the lady who is getting ready to set me up on the tour says, "You know who just stayed here? Lionel Richie." And I said, "What?" And my talk is going to be easy like Sunday morning. I'm like, if I run into Lionel Richie, I'm bringing him to Atlanta so he can sing this song in front of everybody. But it really just kind of shows how synced up life is, because I didn't ask her that question. She didn't know I was coming back home in time to do this talk. But that's how life can be easy if we put it out there. Now, I wonder what are the things that we call easy. I said, you know, taking it easy in the morning, taking in a matinee, going on vacation is easy, right, for some. Vegging out on the couch and just reading a book or watching a movie. Easy, easy stuff, easy like Sunday morning. So as I continued in my trip, I had one student that I was facilitating some knowledge for, and I always say facilitating knowledge because my mother wanted me to be a teacher when I was growing up and going to college, and I did not want to be a teacher. I didn't want to have to corral these kids in and try to get some information in their head while they tell me what I don't know. So little did I know that my journey was going to have that in it in some flavor anyway. It just came out in a different way because what I can do is facilitate learning. I can see what I've practiced, what I know, and share it with other people. Now, that usually pertains to an adult audience, so I thought. But as I got better at this, I found out that I could do it with teens too, and even little people. But it's not demanding that I'm showing them how one and one is two. What I'm showing them is a different part of their lives. So I thought about the process of my trip and how easy it was going. And the fact that not always things are that easy. I stayed in a luxury hotel, but I was in Manila, Philippines, and the population is predominantly living in poverty. There are about 70% of that population that lives in poverty, and there's about 20% that's middle class, and then there's about 10% that's super wealthy. You know, the Manny Pacquiao kind of people, because they live there too. But the people that you meet, you cannot tell that they don't have money because they seem to be living life easy like Sunday morning. They will come up and smile at you and give you the laughs that they have. I have David here this morning. You know, he always likes props, and I'm like, he's going to be proud of me. I've got a prop. One of my students who actually Facebooked me, and Lori Kay is here. She found your picture of me on Lori Kay on Google. And this is her rendition of Angela Harmon. I've got a little Philippine look, don't I? My eyes are slanted. But she used the braids from that picture, and she decided she wanted to give this to me. I had to immediately frame it. I went to Michael's yesterday and said, I'm going to bring that, because she felt easy with me. She was one of my students from a year ago. She's sends me those. We have this instant messenger call Same Time, where you can actually, like Yahoo and Google, if you want to instant message someone, you can see if they're on or not. And she have these beautiful little emoticons that she always sends me. And here she is doing a picture herself. So I said, boy, that's easy. So these people that have all these things that are going against them, for the most part, live a very easy life. I come back to our country and I get reminded about how we don't take life so easy. You know, we may not be as kind to each other or as friendly to each other. It seems to stand out more after I come from one of those kinds of trips. Or even before going, I hadn't been to Manila in a year. There were things that were pushing my button. I felt that I was becoming very reactive. You know, I love the 7 habits. There were 3 things that I want to speak to today in reference to being easy like Sunday morning. It's going to be about a couple of the habits. Habit 1, be proactive in particular. Then Myers-Briggs, there's a personality type indicator. This is back to my facilitating side. And then what are those things that I commit to have faith and gratitude in having an easy life? So I'm going to kind of do the Myers-Briggs part first. So what I want you to try to do is imagine you have a piece of paper in your hand. Everybody have your imaginary pad and pen. All right? So take out your paper, take out your pen, write your name or sign your name as you would usually do if you were writing a check. I know we don't sign our names very much anymore, but writing a check or a contract or something serious, you just bought a house. You know how many times you have to sign it? Okay, you're signing it. All right, sign. I don't see you signing. Sign your name. Okay, there you go. All right, now I want you to do the same. I want you to sign your name again, but I want you to use your opposite hand. Sign your name. Oh, it looks all clumsy out there. What's going on? Not so easy? It's easier when we have a tendency or a preference of way of doing something. But when it's an opportunity to do it a little bit different, we might struggle with that one. Might not like that one too tough. Might not even do it at all. But if we become ambidextrous, if you will, in our ability, you know, well, this might be my dominant way of being, but I might need to chill and see what's going on instead of reacting to the moment. So that's where the seven habits came in. I believe that seven habits, I always say this was my gateway to this teaching. I always say gateway drug. It was my gateway drug to this teaching. It helped me be open-minded to taking responsibility for what's happening with me. So life is not being so easy. It's something I'm doing. And it's not like it's going to be completely easy, right? You think about the names, the famous names that come to mind to me, like Muhammad Ali, I'm the greatest, right? Whoever saw that, that man was saying I'm the greatest when men of his color, our color, were trying to figure out who we were. But he knew he was the greatest. Prince could play every instrument there was. He made it seem easy. Michael Jackson singing and dancing made it seem easy. Let me come to some people that are alive. I watched the playoffs, and I am drawn to Steph Curry. That boy make looking, throwing in that three-footer or that three-point throw, easy. Easy. Well, LeBron had to take him to school because he's more mature and older. And I like that lesson. You know, I like the fact that Cleveland hadn't won in a while. So, you know, both of them took home a bunch of money. Sounds like a win-win to me. But do you think that they practice that talent? It looked easy to us the way they do it. But do you think there's a practice around that talent? Everybody that I've named, there's a practice every single day that they're doing to get that good at what they're doing that make life look so easy. What are we doing? Part of my spiritual practice, if I see I'm reacting, get proactive. Begin with the end in mind. Do I really want to be upset? If today was my last today, and I tell you, getting on a plane every time, that's an option. And when you're going across the waters, everybody's panicked. You know, I remember that airline that something did happen to while I was in Manila about a year ago, and everybody just swore it was my plane. I'm like, why are you doing that to me? I'm still here. I'm good. I usually fly Delta anyway. I'm a Delta girl. But when I'm over in that country, I will fly the best airline. But we want to see how we're responding to anything that's going on in our lives. If there is a reaction going on, it's not about out there. It's about in here. So when I'm finding out life is not so easy, I want to blame the baby crying or the neighbors upstairs and the pit-pat, pit-pat, pit-pat. Or the noise, whatever it is outside of me. And when I get back into my focus, why am I reacting? I go to this teaching. We have a teaching that shows us about cause and effect and laws of natures. And so one of the laws of cause and effect really talk about the fact that we need to take responsibility for our own lives. And I want to read this. I've got it right here where it says, accepting responsibility. I read this because there are some things just worth repeating over and over and over. When we blame and accuse others, we are reactive. We focus on the weaknesses of other people and get so involved in their disturbing behaviors that we forfeit our power to think, feel, and act in our own best interest. On the other hand, by exercising proactivity, we don't let the others' weaknesses drive our decisions. In spite of others' actions and dispositions, we make choices according to our values, our vision, and purpose. Now I'm not so reactive. I'm getting into somebody else's field if I'm reactive. I become dependent. I'm not mature in my behavior. I'm acting like a spoiled little girl because I want it my way. I remember hearing something, I think they give credit to Oprah, about do you want to be happy or do you want to be right? I think I want to be happy. Because I've actually been right and tried to argue a point, but does it get me anywhere? No, because people are going to see things the way they are. Maybe not the way the world really is. And that's our paradigms. And we have shifts along the way so we can become proactive in our behavior. But if we don't know what's resonating with us and to get out of that oldness that we have, into the newness of life, life can be hard all along the way. But why doesn't it look so hard with these people who struggle in this country that have very little but will give me their last? Why is that? Because they take life easy. It is truly the flip-flop country. Everybody's got flip-flops on unless you're in the work environment. So that almost automatically, I have my flip-flops right here. As soon as I get out of these shoes, I'm gonna put them on. And I think it's because I've been over there. I'm in a flip-flop mood. I think David saw me walking in. I'm like, is Angela going to wear those on stage? But I decided that I'm in this flip-flop mood because if you move your roles, I think if you put on a hat, certain hats make you get into a certain role, right? So these flip-flops get you to a comfortable role. So I don't care how little or how much you have, everybody's all happy about it. And they take life easy. Every time I got in a cab, actually I use Uber a lot over there. They have Uber. Can you believe that? They got Uber in the Manila, Philippines. And there's this one guy who was just outstanding, but most of them, a little charming. I don't know. I think they might be hitting on me and trying to get to come to this country. You know, if I marry them, maybe, you know, I'm not doing that. Yeah, but it's fun. You know, it's kind of flattering and it's cute. But I took Uber quite a bit over there. So all these conversations about me get revealed, but there's a lot of conversations about them that get revealed. A people. Some of them are married with children. Some of them are single. Some have moved from other countries. All kinds of things, but they all had this easiness about them. In traffic, you would not believe. Anybody live in New York? 20 times New York. I never drive in Manila. People ask me, have I ever driven? No, I would hurt somebody or somebody would hurt me. There's road signs, but they don't use them. There's lights, but they don't follow them. There's lanes, but they don't work. You just go for it. And I've not seen one accident. I think because it's easy, like Sunday morning for them. There's people walking, there's jeepneys. Anybody want to know what a jeepney is? There's jeeps they've converted into long vehicles so they can pile people in them and get around. There's families on mopeds. Did you hear me? Families on moped. The mother, the father, and the two kids. One moped. I don't think we can do that in the U.S., can we? Is that against the law? You see it all the time. People walking. So all of this, and it's all coming together easy. In the midst of this, looks like chaos. I think because people aren't reacting to every single thing that occurs. We get pretty reactive here in this country for some reason. We need to take it easy. Easy like Sunday morning. One of the things that come up for me in reference to our teaching, the first chapter in the book talks about the thing itself. Let me get my page. I want to say I'm just right. The thing itself, that means that limitless power that we have to tap into, the way it works, and I actually want to read from the way it works. The gardener goes forth in faith to sow his seeds. He has learned that as he sows, so shall he reap. That's the law that works for all alike. We must accustom ourselves to accept of the impersonalness of the law and the availability of the law and the mechanical accuracy of the law. If we can conceive only little good, that is as much as we can experience. So if we can receive a great deal of good, we'll have more. So I'm seeing the smiles and the happy day. Hey, that might be plenty. Don't measure them on me or you. Measure you on you. You decide what you want to have in your life. And you seek out the avenues that guide you that way. Because there's some people already doing it. Don't have to reinvent the wheel. The other one is what it does. What it does, we use treatment. That is the keys to the kingdom, I call it. Anytime there's any stressing situation that is in my life, you just stop. You recognize that there is one power that is greater than you are. I don't care what you call it. you recognize that you are one with this power. I don't care where you are on the planet, what you do, what you believe, what your parents were, what you do for your job. You're one with that power that is greater than anything else. You see it in the mountains, in the rain, in the trees, in your dog. Then you decide what you want life to be. You say that. I don't want to have to wait for a car. I want to stay at my favorite hotel, and I hope there's room. All of that went down. Bigger than that, I want a healthy grandbaby. I want my daughter to survive this pregnancy, this preeclampsia and her high blood pressure, and people die from that. They're sitting here. It's all up for us to affirm what it is we want, and it'll be, period. Well, we have doubts about things because we're human beings. You get a diagnosis and you know you've been healthy all your life. You eat right. You do well. You do all the right things. And now I've got this diagnosis. Well, you look that diagnosis in the face and say, yeah, I was scared. Yeah, I did have some fear around that. Yeah, I'm not sure. Recognize that. You're human. If we weren't, we'd be inhumane. And I'd rather not have that. So we recognize there's some fear around that. And then we declare that that fear is no longer going to stop me from having the life that I want. So you reaffirm any way you want to that which you declare to be true. And then you give thanks for it. That can become a simple prayer as you get good at this teaching, at this practice. Knowing your resonance about you. All you do is wake up in the morning and say thank you. You know it's going to be a slamming day. And then you release it to the universe, let it do its great work for you. You sit back and relax, or put one foot in front of the other, depending on the day. And here it comes right to you. That's how that works. And then the last one is how to use it. And I'm going to read page 54. There's a couple of excerpts. One I remember writing while about in February. A false fact is neither person, place, nor thing to the one who uncovers it. And once uncovered, it has no place in which to hide. The next one that caught my eye, change the consciousness and the false condition will disappear. And then the last piece, let us analyze this. One finds himself impoverished. He wishes to change this condition. He knows that this is not in accord with the ultimate reality, that the spirit imposes no limitations. Therefore, he knows that this has apparent limit condition has no real law to support it. It is simply an experience of consciousness. He wishes a definite result in the opposite direction. First, he realizes that the law of life and law of liberty and freedom. He now states the law of liberty is flowing through him into all his affairs. But the image of his limitation persists. Here is a definite contradiction of the statement of freedom. Right here, he, and always she can be replaced there, must stop and declare that these images of limitations are neither person, place, nor thing, that they have no power, personality, nor presence, nor real law to support them. He does not believe in them, and they cannot operate through him. He is free from their influence forever. He then begins to fill his life and thought with idea of faith and expectancy of good and realization of plenty. So we have to put it out there. That's our affirmation piece. If you say, no, I can't have it, guess what? No, you can't have it. If you say, yes, I can, guess what? Yes, I can. Well, I have to say, I want it first class. I wanted to, you know, my company decided that we have to fly economy now. And like I said earlier, treat my money, my company's money, like my money. And I actually was a little upset about them taking that privilege away from us a little while ago. We used to be able to fly business class if the flight was over 5 hours. But after everything started falling out of the economy, you know, everybody going to travel economy. So every now and then, I would still get an upgrade some kind of way. And then I found out they made regulations around that. So one trip, I said, well, let me see how much it really cost and see if I would pay the difference. My ticket was about $1,500 or $2,000. I checked on the first class ticket and it was $10,000 for the same trip. I said, okay, I'll just have to get comfortable back here and be okay with this. So sometimes we wondered about saying yes to, I wasn't going to say yes to $10,000. I mean, why? Save the company somewhere else. Maybe I get to take a trip somewhere else. You know, she's responsible with our money. She can do some things. She can travel like she's got sense, right? She's using her head. How do I justify $8,000? What? For a little pot in the front? No, I'm good. Somebody asked me, Angela, did you use your miles? And I checked on that. It would have been 80,000 miles just to upgrade one way. I'm like, that's okay. I'm good. I can go to Africa on 80,000 miles. I'll use that in another way. So we figure out what we want to say yes to, what we want to say no to. But we always want to be proactive. And as I close, I want to close with one other habit that centers around what I do about it. Habit 7 is always sharpening the saw. That's taking care of yourself mentally, physically, spiritually, and social emotionally. This is a spiritual taking care of yourself, a mental taking care of yourself as well. It kind of combines them all. You're social because we get to hug each other and love each other. And we also want to stay fit. We want to get our rest. Saturday, I slept the day away. My daughter kept checking on me to see what was going on. I was like trying to acclimate to being back home. But I needed the rest. My body needed to get ready for what I was going to do today and still be here and not sleep through 11 o'clock service. It's like, where the heck is Angela? Well, she just flew back and she hadn't been here, so she's in bed. No, I'm here. I have the energy. I have the wherewithal. I have the love because I stay balanced as much as I can. So we have to jump that rope. Anybody ever Dutch, double Dutch? That's no joke, right? You're using all those parts of you. You're using your mental, your spiritual, your social, and your exercise doing that. Life is supposed to be that much fun. And it gets real easy when you start practicing. And it'll be easy like Sunday morning. And that's how we can all live our lives. And so it is. All right. As Tom comes up, I want you to relax in your seats and I want you to take what resonated with you and use it and grow and discover and maintain and leave the rest and go into that which I take everywhere I go on the planet. And no matter what we look like, this is what we're all doing because we're all connected at the spiritual level. You can close your eyes or keep them open. You're closing them just wards out distractions. Breathe. That's always a way to center ourselves quickly. We all do it everywhere. And as you breathe in and out, let us know this together, that there is only one power. Divine, called many names all over the planet. God, Yahweh, Buddha, Allah, the sun, the moon, the stars. All of that comes from that greater creation. And each and every one of us, everything is of that. And we get to use that and be unique expressions of that only the way we can. And life can become easier with the practice of knowing that we can affirm our lives with our speech and our posture and our attitude and our position. Our self-awareness, our imagination, our free will to do what's best for not just ourselves, but for others. That means that everything matters. We walk away taking the song lyrics in our head, knowing that it's inspiration in all parts, and we can morph it into having this relationship with that greater power and not of a significant other. And knowing that we're not going to be chained by any of our thoughts or binded by anything that seems to be an obstacle or something holding us back or not enough or woe is me and why did that happen and why we calm ourselves. We breathe in and out knowing, let me take it easy. Let me see it a greater way because there is a greater idea even if I don't see it right here, right now. And guess what? It comes. I say thank you and it comes again. And I say thank you and it comes again. And I say thank you and it comes again. And I say thank you. I live a life of gratitude to keep the abundance of easy growing. And when the toughness comes, there are lessons that make it easy again. We release this to the law of cause and effect and we set our cause in it and we'll demonstrate life. And it's released beautifully, uniquely, in a masterpiece of you and me. God's got it. And so it is.